Today, December 21st, is the feast day of the great Jesuit priest and doctor of the church, St. Peter Canisius, who, they say, single-handedly re-evangelized Central Europe after the Protestant revolt from the faith. So Peter Canisius is called the second apostle of Germany. The first, of course, was St. Boniface, who evangelized Germany. But now, in the 16th century, after the breaking up of the body of Christ because of Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and Henry VIII and other reformers, the church was now reforming itself. And this was called the Catholic Reformation after the Council of Trent. And one of the shining lights of the Catholic Reformation, which was a true reformation, unlike, as you know, the Protestant revolt, splintered the body of Christ. But now the church is being renewed by the great saints, Pius V, Charles Borromeo, and today's saint, St. Peter Canisius. He was born in Holland in 1521. He lived to be 76 years of age. He died in Switzerland in 1597. When we look at his life for a few moments, we see that his father was the mayor of his district in Holland. As a young man, he was very studious, a brilliant young man. He got his master's degree at the University of Cologne by the age of 19. And so he began to study law, to become a lawyer. But then he met one of the followers of Ignatius of Loyola, who had just recently founded the Jesuits. And this man was Peter Faber. And Peter Faber had such an influence on Peter Canisius that he decided to enter the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, in 1543. So he was the eighth professed member of this brand new fledgling order that would eventually set up so many universities and colleges to spread the faith. So Peter was ordained a priest. He was known for his scholarship, his translations of the early church fathers, especially Cyril of Alexandria and St. Leo the Great. But Peter Canisius was also a man of action. He was part of the Council of Trent. He helped establish universities in southern Germany and the Bavarian area. But he would also visit the sick and the imprisoned. He became the superior of the Jesuits in Vienna and then in southern Germany. And his main goal was being able to defend and renew the Catholic faith following the Protestant revolt. So Peter established countless schools, colleges, seminaries, and was known for his preaching and giving missions. During the 30 years that he spread the faith out of such great love and zeal for Christ, he traveled 20,000 miles, either on foot or on horseback, for this purpose. He was once asked, did he feel overwhelmed by the burden? He said, if you have too much to do, with God's help, you will find all the time you need to do it. At the age of 70, he became paralyzed and crippled, but he continued with the help of a secretary, the priest secretary, to continue to write and preach until his death 6 years later. He was an advisor to the emperor as well as to three popes. He died on December 21st, 1597, as I mentioned, in Switzerland. He was canonized and declared a doctor of the church in 1925. So he's one of the great saints of the true Catholic Reformation. He was especially promoting sacred scripture and Catholic apologetics, the reform of the clergy, and the importance of catechisms. He helped to write catechisms as well. By the end of his life, he had helped to found dozens of colleges. So the reason why southern Germany is still Catholic today and how it could produce a man like Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict XVI, was because of the work of this great saint, Peter Canisius. So we see the fruit of Peter Canisius' life in producing such a saintly holy father, Pope Benedict XVI. So I'll give you a blessing now with the relic of St. Peter Canisius. You can venerate it after Mass through the intercession of St. Peter Canisius. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's also a great joy today to be receiving a family into the Catholic Church. Todd and Jennifer Skiles will, in a few moments, come up to profess their faith. They've been on a beautiful journey over these many years, being very devout members of the Anglican Church, being very active in their church, and now today will profess the Catholic faith. So it's very appropriate that it happens on this feast day of this great apostle of the faith, Peter Canisius. In fact, that opening prayer says that by the help of St. Peter's prayers, may all who seek the truth rejoice in finding you. If you've been on your journey of seeking the fullness of the faith, coming back home to the faith of your fathers, the faith of the early church fathers, the faith of the apostles, the faith founded by Christ 2,000 years ago. So today you rejoice in seeking the truth and in finding the fullness of the truth. And may all who believe in you be loyal in professing their faith. In a few moments you'll come up to profess your faith. And we know that you'll follow Christ as you've done so well over these years and raising your children in your faith, homeschooling them. And I'll just mention the saints' names that Todd and Jennifer have chosen for their confirmation saints. Todd has chosen Thomas Francis, those two great saints. Of course, as you know, there are many St. Thomases in the faith. First and foremost is Thomas the Apostle, one chosen by Christ who had his doubts, but through seeing the resurrected Christ, gave the greatest profession of faith by saying, "My Lord and my God." And then became the Apostle of India and was even martyred for his faith in Christ in India. Of course, we also have the great Thomas Aquinas that I know that you know and love and have read his writings. The most brilliant man ever to live, according to many of the theologians. They say that Thomas had the most brilliant intellect of anyone that God ever created. And then, of course, next to the Blessed Mother, of course. But as far as a theologian goes, Thomas was the greatest mind, the greatest intellect of the church. But we also have Thomas More, who gave his life during the times of the persecutions of the church in England, and Thomas a Becket, who did the same. And then Jennifer has chosen Elizabeth Ann Seton. Elizabeth Ann Seton, just like Jennifer, from Anglicanism to the Catholic faith. Elizabeth was a teacher, an educator of her own children, and was drawn to the Catholic faith by the Holy Eucharist. So these saints that you've chosen, Thomas and Francis, of course, St. Francis being the great ecumenical saint, who they say was the most Christ-like man to walk the face of the earth since the time of the Lord. He was so holy and so close to Christ. So St. Thomas, St. Francis, and Mother Seton, the great educator of her children, and also a convert from the Anglican faith. So now we invite you to come and stand in front of the altar for the profession of faith and for your confirmation.